Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories and their business ventures.
We're not going to quit talking about AI and software because our next two guests are working in a company together. They have Matthew Bundy and Sean Black. Matt is the founder and Sean is the lead developer of Bitformance, a cryptocurrency analytics platform that allows users to track, analyze, and create their own cryptocurrency indexes. This is like woo-woo stuff way out there, you guys. So welcome. Tell us all about it.
Thanks for having me. So Sean and I have been working on this for the last few years, and Bitformance allows users, like you said, to track, analyze, create their own cryptocurrency indexes and additional market metrics. But the reason why it came for me is because like stock market has a bunch of different ETFs, different industries. You can track all this stuff. At the time, crypto, and still to a certain extent, it doesn't really have that industry, subsector, whatever you want to call it, segmentation like the stock market does. And so gauging your own performance metrics is a little bit difficult. You know, if you have a portfolio of 20 different cryptocurrencies, how do you know your performance is good versus bad? You know, usually it's just relative to Bitcoin. Maybe sometimes you'll use S&P 500 to try to gauge it, but there isn't really that one central benchmark, if you want to call it, for that. So that's where the indexes kind of come in and help, where if you primarily, maybe like Terry said, have AI related cryptocurrencies, you can see like if I have these AI cryptocurrencies, am I doing good relative to the AI index maybe? Or am I lacking the AI index? If I am, why am I doing that? You know, are there some that are performing better than others, or are my holdings just not performing well? So it kind of really gives you that performance gauge and metrics on that. And then additionally, we have the different taxonomy systems that really help to show in general the market, how the dynamics are working, either in between the different sectors, subsectors, custom benchmarking, back testing tools, just the general kind of getting more information throughout the market.
So for those of us of a certain age who did not grow up with cryptocurrency, could you just kind of generally describe what it is? I mean, we've all heard about it, but understanding it is elusive sometimes, I think.
The general premise that when it first came about was decentralized peer-to-peer payment networks. So, you know, there's no central entity. So like a PayPal or a Stripe or something, where there's a central entity that's handling all the payments, like a Visa or whatever, and then you have to rely on them. If their network goes down, you know, that's it. You can't handle payments. Bitcoin is decentralized so that there's no central entity that controls everything. It's handled by, in Bitcoin's case, a bunch of miners. That's a whole separate conversation. You know, what's mining? Mining is solving complex math problems. That's kind of the simple way of thinking it, to help confirm the transactions that go through and the security of the network. So there's a bunch of miners. It could be me. It could be you. You know, anyone can really do it. But the payments are peer-to-peer. So if I send Terry or Sean or whoever a Bitcoin, there's no Visa or Stripe that has to facilitate that payment. It's just the network itself of other users that are really helping to make that happen.
How is that different from like Zelle, right?
Because
you're doing the same thing.
Yeah. And well, you know, Zelle's through like a Wells Fargo or something. So at the other end, you know, the bank really does have to get the transaction to go through, and then you have to receive it in your bank account. So there is that entity at the other end. You know, if there's a bank run or a huge crash or something, you're not going to be able to withdraw your money maybe. Or if the system goes down, you know, the person you're trying to send money to might not be able to receive it. So Bitcoin kind of in its core really helps with stuff like that, where there's not really anyone or central entity that you have to trust. It's just a general consensus of the network that anyone can really be a part of. And it's not a single entity that controls everything.
So is this traded on a trading site, like a website where you have all? I was going to ask you, how many cryptocurrencies are there?
So that's the tricky question. There's thousands, tens of thousands. Now, are they quality ones? No. There's a bunch of sites where there's Kraken, there's Coinbase, there's Gemini. There's so a lot of exchanges where it's kind of like a stockbroker. You know, there's E-Trade, there's Interactive Brokers, there's Fidelity where you can trade stocks. It's kind of similar in cryptocurrency where there's different exchanges where you can connect your, either it's a PayPal or maybe your bank account or whatever, and purchase the cryptocurrencies. And then what the best practice is to then withdraw your cryptocurrencies from that exchange and store them yourselves. Otherwise, you're still having to rely on that exchange to hold your funds, which, you know, we see in like FTX or whatever, you know, how that ended up, you know, where next thing you know that goes bottoms up and then people have all these funds stuck on the exchange and can't withdraw them. So it's good to purchase them on the exchange and then hold them yourselves in something, maybe like an offline storage, like a Ledger or a Trezor or something.
And then don't forget your password.
Don't forget your password. Then, you know, then you're going to lose your funds or whatever.
So I wanted to ask Sean a question. How do you get your money out of cryptocurrency? How does it go from crypto to dollars?
Like Matt was saying, you have your exchanges, right? Where you purchase them. I mean, that's where you trade them. So, I mean, if you bought Bitcoin or something and a couple of years later you decide to sell it, you would just, if it's not on Coinbase, like if it's in a Ledger or wallet somewhere, you would send it to Coinbase, to your Coinbase account, essentially. And then you would sell it for USD. And then you could, if you have your bank account connected to your Coinbase account, then you just withdraw the USD that you sold your Bitcoin for. So, I mean, that's what they're exchanges, it's a currency exchange. So you're pretty much, it is a central entity where you can offload and buy crypto. But the beauty of it is, you know, you can take control of your own crypto by moving it off the exchange. Once it's off the exchange, you know, in your own wallet, that you have complete control. You know, there's no Wells Fargo, there's no other bank or entity that can tell you or, you know, has control over your own Bitcoin wallet. So, but if you wanted to sell it, you would send it to one of those exchanges and just exchange it for whatever you wanted to. I mean, you can exchange it for USD, you can exchange it for other cryptocurrencies, some exchanges, like if you had Bitcoin and Doge. If you wanted to exchange your Bitcoin for Dogecoin, you could totally do that on one of those exchanges. So, I mean, that's what their function is just an exchange where you can trade your USD for Bitcoin. At the end of the day, they are currencies.
I just want to add on real quick to Sean is, you know, now they also have I guess they've had it for a while, but Bitcoin ATMs, or I mean, even you can meet up with someone in person, just pay them cash and transfer Bitcoin. So, I mean, like Sean said, it's either a currency or you think of it like gold, you know, and just hand someone a bar of gold and they're going to send you some $1,000 or something. So, you know, there's a bunch of different avenues.
I do want to ask you guys something, and I think we should go to Terry and Gina, but is it still as volatile a market as, I remember Sean called me one night. He's like, my crypto made so much money. I've got like $10,000 in crypto. I'm like, sell it, Sean, sell it. And the next day he calls me, goes, well, it's down to zero now.
So yes and no, you know, the more, it's kind of like stocks, not, you know, it's a little more volatile in stocks, but you know, you have the established, like an Apple, a Microsoft, which is equivalent of like a Bitcoin, Ethereum. Those are, while still more volatile than stocks, I would say they have come down a little bit in terms of volatility since, you know, the inception. We are still relatively young in the market, so it is volatile. But then if you go to, you know, so-called meme coins or whatever else, some of these more brand new or ones that are really just kind of coming about, you might see them go from $1 to $1,000, then back down to $2 in a span of 24 hours. And so, as you know, like you said, for Sean, you know, might see your dollar turn into $1 million and then don't sell and it turns back down to $20. So it really depends on the asset and kind of what you're holding, I would say.
One of the cool things about Bitformance is that you can actually see the performance of some of these cryptocurrencies over a long period of time. And when you look at the performance from like 2017 until now, you know, you might see some short-term volatility, but if you see that if like you didn't do anything, if you just had it and didn't trade it or do anything like that, it actually served you better in the long run than just trying to like ape into some of these, you know, really volatile assets. So, I mean, that's one of the cool things about the website is you can actually see and track the performance of these over a long period of time. And then you kind of get your own insight. Well, you know, maybe I don't want to just sell this, you know, in a week from now, because like, you know, judging by past experience and looking at, you know, the website, it might be better to just hold on to it for a long time. And so, I mean, that's just kind of one of the cool things that you can see.
So in terms of performance, if we were going to compare cryptocurrency, maybe the top 100 cryptocurrencies, compare that to the performance of the S&P 500 or the New York Stock Exchange, would you have been better off investing in a portfolio of cryptocurrencies 5 years ago? Or are you still better off investing money in the stock market, for example?
Yeah, it depends really on the time frame, I think, that you're looking at. You know, if you invested 10 years ago when it was still really in its infancy till now, you would have beat the S&P 500 by miles. But, you know, certain periods of time, you might see the cryptocurrency actually really underperforms the stock market. Whether, you know, a lot of the times that has to do with the volatility where the upsides are usually much higher, but the downsides, the drawdowns are much steeper. So you'll make more money, but you'll also lose more money effectively. So and that's why I think a lot of people say, you know, don't have all your funds in cryptocurrency, all your funds in the stock market, have some sort of balance between the two. So you do get capture some of that upside, but then you won't get the huge drawdown that it has.
That's good advice. So, Terry.
Oh, I compliment both of you and what you're doing, Matt and Sean, because I'm very strongly in favor of what we can do that lasts. Bitcoin is based on not fiat currency. It's not based on the whim of some government. It's based on mathematics. And mathematics will not lead you wrong. And I've been involved in the crypto community, MC at many different conferences. Matter of fact, personally, we're very happy what happened a week ago. My friend, Ross Ulbricht, was freed from prison, and he was very involved in that right now. We're seeing a lot of things happening in that realm. And I would say right now, I have a strategy of HODL, H-O-D-L, hold on for dear life. So in other words, you buy crypto and hold it, not worried about selling it, but as you know, places where you can do it, El Salvador, now you can go out on the street and use Bitcoin to buy regular goods at a store. Mm-hmm. And Argentina is moving toward that. And there are several other countries that are embracing that. So what do you see for the future of, I mean, really long term for Bitcoin, like the end of this year? Really long term, the end of this year.
Well, I'd like to take it a step farther even, and not just peer-to-peer payments, but you know, you look at something like an Ethereum or other, you know, Solana maybe, that you can actually build decentralized applications on top of the network. So it's not just as simple as I'm going to pay you money, but it's I'm going to use this technology to maybe autonomously handle car data from the actual car to the organization itself without really needing to have a central entity that it passes through. So that's the kind of the real future is how can we build these systems and technology without relying on a single person or a company or whatever that almost build like an ecosystem. I think that's where the real value of it comes in.
Absolutely. Basing it on blockchain, which again is mathematics, not depending on a human being doing something. It just, if this happens, it takes it. For supply chains, it's perfect. For voting and some of the problems with voting, blockchain is the answer.
So I wanted to go to Gina. Gina.
Terry and I were early adopters of Bitcoin. In fact, I purchased my first in 2013, so long, long time ago. And I think of the roller coasters that I can see where we live in Orlando. There's roller coasters over at Universal Studio that I can see right outside my window right here. And it's up and down and up and down and up and down. And we just became comfortable with that. As Terry mentioned, we have a HODL, hold on for dear life strategy. And we know it's going to go way up and it's going to come way down. And it's, and it has gotten more stable. And now that the U.S. government is embracing it, now that the main investment houses have their ETFs and have embraced it, it's going to change. And there's going to be bigger movements that are artificial, possibly. But overall, we believe in the long-term viability of it, by, you know, very much so. Richard, if I could address the question that you asked with a slight different twist. You said if you had a basket of cryptocurrencies versus the stock market, you might have done well or might not, as just as Matthew said. But if you had had Bitcoin for those 10 years, you would have definitely done well. So
I hear it's worth like $200,000 per coin or something, or is it
about 103,000 this morning? And okay. Of course, it's volatile and going up and down.
Well, this has been fascinating. Matt and Sean, how do people find you?
You can go to our website at bitformance.com or Twitter, Bitformance Team. Those are the kind of the two primary places to reach us.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.